Good morning, and welcome to the Hotelis City Express third quarter 2020 earnings conference call. Thank you for joining us today. For opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Hector Vasquez, Investor Relations Director for Hotelis City Express. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Hotelis City Express third quarter 2020 results were released yesterday after the market closed. They can be found on Hotelis City Express Investor Relations website. We would like to remind you that during this call, management comments may include forward-looking statements. We ask that you please refer to the legal disclaimer in the quarterly report for guidance on this matter. Joining us today's call are Luis Barrios, our CEO, Mr. Paul Smith, our CFO, and Mr. Santiago Parra, our Corporate Finance Director. Luis will begin with some opening remarks, followed by Paul, who will present the company's financial results. We will then open the floor for questions. Now, it's my pleasure to turn the call over to Luis.
Thank you, Hector. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today to discuss Hotelis City Express third quarter results for the current year. We hope you all and your loved ones are healthy and well. To start my comments, I would like to reiterate that we continue committed to the strategy outlined earlier this year to guide the company through this health and economic crisis. Having been in this situation for 6 months now, I am very pleased to share that we've reached what seems to be the recovery period in reasonably good shape. Although we're still facing challenging times, we will continue to act decisively on the fronts we enacted in our short-term strategy that include aggressive marketing, cost controls, and special attention to our cash flow and financial structure. We will continue to act immediately and try to anticipate market changes, implementing the necessary adjustments to the organization, products and services, distribution channels, and advertising campaigns. As well, health and safety of our stakeholders will remain high in our agenda, supported by our biosafety protocols. Robustness. Moving on to general comments on the quarter, we are already seeing a pickup in demand for hotel rooms across the board. This is more pronounced in the northern states, as well as in the Gulf Corridor, where we are operating above our stabilized occupancy levels in many cases. Additionally, we see demand coming from Asian companies which are following the trend of nearshoring to access the U.S. market, and have seen in the market companies from several industries in the early stages of reopening. We closed the third quarter with a 23% occupancy rate on the portfolio, up 12% from second quarter. Resulting from our comments mentioned during the previous paragraph, it's worth mentioning that during October, the positive trend continues, and we have been able to post business day occupancies in the range of 35%. As I mentioned before, with the intention of anticipating to the continuous changes in the market conditions, we have been monitoring the development of COVID-19 pandemic, investment trend in Mexico, and different mobility indicators that have allowed us to have a better visibility of the short-term occupancy rate performance in each state in which we operate. We have also seen mobility increasing in the majority of the country, which at the national level has recovered up to 60% from the pre-pandemic mobility levels. We are reasonably confident this will translate into higher demand and thus higher occupancy rates for our company in the near future. It is also worth mentioning that there is a positive and strong correlation between mobility indicators and hotel occupancy levels. During the third quarter, direct channels continued to gain strength with our reservation mix. We witnessed an increase of bookings done through our own reservation channels, where we are now receiving 90% of room reservations versus 80% before the pandemic. The latter is thanks to reinforcement of the communication strategy within our different marketing campaigns, our wide geographic coverage, and the fact that we have kept our properties open throughout the pandemic, giving certainty and confidence to the consumer. Moving on to our financials, during the quarter, we maintain the same control measures we have discussed in the past to preserve the company's liquidity. We still benefit from deferrals of interest and amortization of principal payments, as well as from flexibility in our operating costs and expenses, given our current occupancy levels. We should be adjusted as our operations normalize. We were able to achieve positive cash flow generation at Burton Chain, at the chain level, every month of the quarter. In September, we were able to fund our reduced CapEx program and pay our debt amortizations, and still had a modest increase in our cash balance for the quarter. We have seen reasonable progress in our asset recycling effort. We finalized the sale of a land plot in Mexico City and have signed a binding promissory purchase sale agreement of a land plot in Barranquilla, Colombia. Both sales account for 80 million pesos out of the 150 million pesos program we have launched for this year, and we will continue with these efforts going forward. Both sales will be completed above the asset cost. Let me finish saying that we are pleased with the performance of our portfolio under the strategy we have implemented in this very atypical year, to say the least. As a team, we remain highly motivated to continue delivering results for all our stakeholders and already planning for 2021. We are grateful with our team, our suppliers, our creditors, our investors who have supported us through this journey, and we intend to keep in generating value for them. Now, I would like to hand the call over to our CFO, Paul Smith, who will provide you with further details on our financial and operational performance. Paul, please proceed with your remarks.
Thank you, Luis. My remarks here are based on Hotela City Express third quarter financial results, which were prepared under IFRS. During the third quarter, our portfolio increased by one hotel, closing at 153 properties in total. This compares to 151 hotels in the last comparable quarter. Of the 153 hotels in operation at the end of the quarter, 127 were established properties, 12 more than the third quarter of 2019. We closed the quarter with 14,339 established rooms, an 11% increase compared to last year's comparable period. At the chain level, our ADR decreased 6% to 958 pesos, while RevPAR decreased 63.3%, closing the quarter at 219 pesos, still seeing the impact of the pandemic. Notably, quarter on quarter, our RevPAR increased by more than two times. Revenues totaled 297 million pesos, a 63.5% decrease year on year, but 101% increase quarter on quarter. Total costs decreased 30.4% year on year to 474 million pesos, as we still maintain cost savings agreements with our suppliers and our employees. That brings us to our third quarter adjusted EBITDA, which was negative 56 million pesos. Comprehensive financing costs increased 17.5% to 122 million pesos as we drew down on our revolving facilities to ensure our liquidity through the sanitary emergency. Our financial liabilities increased 22% year on year to 6.5 billion pesos, and cash and cash equivalents also increased 1.3 billion pesos, bringing net debt to 5.2 billion Mexican pesos. Our net loss for the quarter was 303 million because of all the aforementioned trends combined. In summary, this quarter was still materially impacted by the pandemic, but we saw an important improvement quarter on quarter. We expect the situation will continue to improve in coming quarters, and in the meantime, we will remain disciplined with our investments to maintain liquidity in our balance sheet. Thank you for your attention. Operator, please begin the Q&A portion of our call.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. If at any time your question has been addressed and you would like to withdraw your question, please press star then two. At this time, we'll pause momentarily to assemble our roster. And our first question will come from Froylan Mendez with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hello, Luis, Paul, Hector. How are you guys? Thank you so much for taking my questions. I have three questions, if I may. How much of the occupancy levels reached in October you think that are still related to the restrictions in each state? Or in other words, if the restrictions were to be lifted today in every state, would it substantially change your 35% of occupancy as of October? That's my first question. Second question, could you explain us the margin difference between a reservation made through own channels versus OTAs, just to understand how much margin are you gaining from reaching 90% of the reservations done by own channels? And lastly, in the past years, we have been thinking about maybe 14 hotels opening per year with a predominantly focus on owned or co-owned assets, which definitely has led to higher leverage. Given the experience we're going through, when do you see Hotelicity focusing 100% on the asset light side? Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much, Froylan, for your questions. Let me address them, and I will allow also Luis if he wants to complement on what I have to say. So on your first question, what we're seeing is a tight correlation between mobility and our occupancy or our occupied room nights. With that regard, I believe that the restrictions do have a significant impact not only on our own activity, but also on the economic activity overall. That being said, if you look at the stoplight system that the Mexican government has implemented, it doesn't necessarily correlate with economic activity. So you have to basically do a case-by-case analysis to get to that question. I would think that if you look at the curves for mobility as an average for the country, what you're seeing is an uptick in trend that is assuming if you continue with the same trend, that essentially by the first quarter of 2021 you should be free of any impact coming from the pandemic. And if that continues to correlate as it has been with our occupancy, then you should also expect to see some normality in the occupancy levels at that time. Obviously, this doesn't take into account second wave or any other issues that might arise from the changing climate and so on. I don't know if that was clear for the first question, Freud.
Yes, Paul, thank you.
Okay, secondly, in the second question, the margin change in the proprietary versus third-party channels. So essentially, you have a mix of, in your own channels, you have a mix of costs around 6%. And if you look at all of the third parties, including GDSs and OTAs and the like, you would have an average cost of about 18%. So that's essentially the difference in cost by using one or the other channel. I would remark that one of the things that we have noticed, and I think we have discussed this privately, is that the customers are getting more interested in the attributes of your biosafety standards while doing a reservation, and that's also pushing forward the own channel reservations because you get better information by leveraging on those channels. I don't know if that answers your second question as well.
Yes, it does, Paul. Thank you.
And then lastly, with regards to the asset light question, I think we have mentioned this also in the past. We are focused on doing that. We believe that we have achieved sufficient scale on our asset heavy side so that as soon as the opportunity arises, we continue to with our strategic plan to release the FSA model to the market and thus initiating a switch from asset heavy to asset light. Obviously, that will be dependent on the conditions of the equity markets in Mexico or on opportunities that might arise, also from the consequences of the pandemic. In the meantime, it should be noted that we have a significant portfolio of openings coming from our franchise and managed contracts for the remaining of this year and also for next year as well. So essentially, we have another four projects to be open next year, all of them under the management and franchise agreements. And we should open another two this year still on the fourth quarter using a combination of both. One is a co-investment and the other one is a franchise and management agreement.
Perfect. Paul, and if the fever stay vehicle takes longer than expected to be out, is there a way to still make that shift towards more asset-light, maybe even 100% asset-light, despite fever stay remains for a longer time within the hotel city structure?
Yeah, one of the things that I think that the pandemic will bring is opportunities for consolidation in the industry. And obviously, one of the opportunities that we might leverage on is that consolidation so that we can become asset light as well. So F-Stay, all I'm saying is F-Stay is not the only, it's not the only way to become asset light. There are other alternatives. And obviously, there's also a renewed interest by investors in Mexico, given that majority of them that we have talked to see Mexico as an opportunity right now.
Perfect. Thank you so much, guys, and congrats on the results.
Thank you very much for your questions, Furlan.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our next question will come from Jarrell Galotti with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hello, Paul and team. Thanks for taking my questions. I wanted to pick up on the M&A comments. We did see that you had an LOI and a sale to the amount of 80 million pesos this past quarter. And I was just wondering if you're seeing an acceleration in terms of bids or people or just interest from abroad and within Mexico, and how is that pricing going in the sense of like is it basically a replacement, is it above, you know, basically just some color on M&A. And then I wanted to also get a sense of the recovery by region. I mean, clearly, you know, occupancy is on the way up, but wanted to get a sense if there were some regions that outperform vis-a-vis your average and others that underperformed, and what do you think the drivers are for that? Thanks.
Thank you, Jarrell, for your questions. To address the first question, As we said during the call, we managed to have a couple of properties sold. Both of them were land plots, one in Colombia, the other one in Mexico. Those were sold at above the cost of acquisition of those land plots, so we made a profit on the disposition. The usage for both land plots is not necessarily going to be related to hotels. It's going to be other real estate usages for both of them. We are also seeing interest in a couple of more of the properties we have in Mexico City, and that's why we believe that we will be able to achieve somewhere near 150 million pesos for the year in terms of asset recycling. The market, the real estate market in Mexico, I believe is still not necessarily has stabilized. There are still some significant differences in the bid-ask spreads. That being said, we haven't seen pressure for the properties that we are disposing of. They're still very reasonable, and we believe that has to do with the location of those properties and with the fact that they're really well located, well communicated assets, and also given the fact that we also have most of the licensing required to do the development on them, and that's perceived as an advantage right now. So actually what we're seeing for the remaining recycling efforts we're going to do this year is that more likely than not, those properties will be developed for hotel use, and more likely than not, will also carry our brand. the advantage is that we will not be doing the equity investment into the property or into the development. But as I said, the bid-ask spreads are still not necessarily have stabilized in Mexico, and I believe that we still have to wait probably all of the fourth quarter to start seeing some more stabilization in those metrics, Joel. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, that's good color. Yes.
Okay, and on the second question, we as Luis mentioned, we are seeing a significant pickup of activity in the northern region of the country, in particular in the border on the Pacific. Tijuana is essentially booming right now, and that activity is also pushing forward towards Mexicali and also towards the southern part. We're also seeing a lot of activity in Ciudad Juárez. All of this have to do, Jorel, with, as Luis mentioned, nearshoring of, I would say, mainly Asian companies coming to Mexico to take advantage of the newly signed TMEC and also avoiding the restrictions of the more structural issues between the U.S. and China. We're also seeing a pickup in activity in the Bajío region. The automotive industry is picking up. I'm pretty sure you have seen the reports in the U.S. Of both the prices of used cars, you know, increasing given the scarcity and also the depletion of inventories of new vehicles in the U.S., and that's essentially pushing demand also in the manufacturing side in Mexico. We're also seeing a significant activity in the Gulf corridors, in particular those related with energy. It should be noted we have a property right in front of the new refinery in Dos Bocas, in Paraíso, Tabasco, and that activity is also spilling over to Villahermosa and to the other components of the energy sector in the Gulf corridors. I would say the laggards are mostly the metropolitan areas, in particular Mexico City. You will see that most reports will indicate that there is reduced mobility and reduced activity within Mexico City. Obviously, Mexico City is the center of the pandemic in Mexico. As such, it's been mostly impacted by it. But that being said, we're also seeing a nice recovery in that corridor. If you look quarter on quarter, we're still reaching interesting levels of occupancy in Mexico City. And we have seen also an increase of activity there.
Thank you. And one more question, if I may.
Sure.
You had significant cost reductions year on year, and you know, beyond what we expected. And so I was wondering how sticky some of those cost reductions are. I mean, could we expect some operational leverage going forward as the recovery pushes through? Due to the permanence of some of those reductions?
Absolutely, Jarrell. One of the this is a true partnership between our suppliers, our employees, and essentially all of the value chain that compose City Express. We have agreements that essentially decompose some of those savings with occupancy. Others are more of the permanent nature. We have all decided to focus on the long term. And that has allowed us to achieve significant discounts. As I said, some of them are related to the occupancy, such as payroll, for example. Other will be more related to the or more permanent as we see to note the operations. We have, for example, compensated the additional cost of tending to the pandemic requirements, such as the increasing cost of cleaning the room and so on. With supplier contributed savings, and those are more impermanent in nature. So as we move forward, you will see those advantages becoming permanent in our cost structure.
If I may add,
right.
This is Luis Barrios. This is Luis. Hi. I think that.
Hello.
There's also something in addition to what Paul is mentioning. What I would say is that let me mention that we turn over, when we moved to home office mode, it took us not more than 24 to 48 hours to reach that situation, to be really in a home office mode and nobody working in the premises, in the offices. The reason is that that proves that the platform, digital, the technological platform that we have in place, it is very, very strong and robust. Now, based on that, probably what we needed, and it was a little push towards using it more efficiently. And definitely one good thing of the pandemic in that regard is that it helped us realize that we could do a lot more things with a lower cost, less traveling expenses, less cost in the corporate office, and eventually really help us also reduce the headcount. So in towards now that we are in the process of coming back to the office, we will find that most of those good practices will prevail and should help us at the operating in the management company, would help us also reduce our fixed cost as well as some variable. In the hotel level, as Paul mentioned, fixed costs are also the reduction has been thank you to the partnership alliance that we designed and negotiated with our suppliers of the several inputs in that cost category. And what you'll find is that we will come back as we grow in sales, we will start to increase a portion of those costs, but not necessarily proportionally to sales. And in variable costs, what we have agreed with our suppliers is that as occupancy kicks in and we are reaching acceptable levels of occupancy, also some minor modifications will be made. But in the end, we definitely believe that the result in the end is going to be a positive savings versus what we had in previous years.
Very clear. Thank you, Luis. Thank you, Paul.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Again, that is star, then one. And this concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Luis Barrios for any closing remarks. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I would like to end this call by reiterating that we are pleased with what we have achieved these past few months and believe the worst is now behind us. We will continue to work tirelessly until the situation normalizes, but we are optimistic we will continue to see improvements over the next few quarters. We look forward to taking you in the next earnings call. And as usual, please feel free to reach out if you have any questions or comments in the meantime. We'll be more than happy to hear from you. Have a good day.
The conference has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.